You're listening to the Small Business Talk podcast with Kathy Smith, episode 61.
Small Business Talk is a podcast for business owners and entrepreneurs who want a better way to run their businesses without spending years doing it the hard way. Small Business Talk is hosted by Kathy Smith, who has run the same marketing agency for more than 17 years. And help hundreds of business owners achieve their marketing goals.
Welcome to Small Business Talk Podcast. Today, my special guest is Karina Preston from Creativity, and we're going to be talking about one passion to another. Is your hobby ready to become a business? Welcome, Karina.
Thank you very much for having me.
So one passion to another. Do you want to let us know what creativity is and what you started doing before creativity?
Sure. Creativity is natural handmade artisan soap, bath and body products. So I make soap, bath bombs, shower steamers, lip balms, beard balm, belly balm. As long as it can be natural and not packaged in plastic, then I can make it. I've been doing this full time for around 6 months now. And prior to that, just as a hobby. But my entire adult life from when I've left school has been in the swimming industry, in the swimming teaching and coaching industry. So at 17, I got my swimming teacher's license and I moved into swimming coaching and I retired last April.
Wow. So you've gone from one lot of water to a different lot of water. So from getting people to get in and under the water to getting people to get clean in the water. So what made you decide that you were going to get out of swimming and into running your hobby as a full-time business?
It was actually a really hard decision because I was so passionate about swimming coaching and I loved it and do continue to love it, but it wasn't very healthy for me because I'd been in a chlorine environment for almost 30 years and my body just wasn't handling it anymore. So as much as I wanted to continue and I loved the kids that I was coaching and I was traveling the world and seeing some amazing places and working with some amazing people and meeting some amazing swimmers, my body was just not coming along for the ride. So that was pretty much the kicker for me to give up. And in the last couple of years of my swimming coaching career, I began creativity just because swimming coaching can be very consuming, both in time and in your head. It's very difficult to switch off. So even though we work on deck early in the morning, late at night, there is some time during the day where, well, we should keep to ourselves, you know, a bit of self-care and that sort of thing. And I thought to force me to do something that was not working during the day, I started to make soap. So that's kind of how creativity came about.
So why soap? What was the passion with soap?
Oh, look, it took me a while to get there. I started to do some sewing. I made candles. I tried a few different crafty things. I knew it needed to be a craft because I wanted to work with my hands and do something crafty. And I just came across a website that had soap making kits. So you could purchase a soap making kit. And then over the Easter break, 1 year where I wasn't traveling, which was quite amazing to have an Easter break, I made my first batch of soap and it just went from there.
So then the passion really took over. And now you're doing it probably more hours than you did your swimming coaching.
Yeah, probably about the same. The swimming coaching was pretty full on. And the soap business is pretty full on. I'd say it's on par. It's just a little bit different in that I don't have to get up at 4:30 in the morning if I don't want to, and I can down tools, you know, at a reasonable time in the evening, so I can have dinner before 8 p.m.
So that becomes the challenge then, doesn't it? When it's your own business in your own home, is setting those rules about when you will and won't work. And when you will actually switch off, because I dare say that a lot of people in the current climate are finding that as well. If they've been forced to work from home or choosing to work from home, you really got to set that mindset. It is still a job. You do have to stop. You would stop if you were in a different location and had to turn up. So that can be a real discipline for small business people.
Absolutely. And I guess I've just built myself a soap shed in the backyard, and it doesn't yet have power. So when the sun goes down, there's no light in the shed. So at the moment, it's keeping me honest with that and bringing me inside at a reasonable time, given that it's summer still here in Australia. So around 5:30, 6 o'clock, I'm well and truly inside and, you know, winding down, and my husband is home from work, and as of today, he is working from home. And it's just a bit of an unspoken rule between us that we will stop and have dinner together, and then after dinner, there's no more work.
Well, that's great, because sometimes that home-based businesses, it does blur into well to way far too late into the evening, and sometimes you don't end up with that me time and that time with your partner. So that's really important. Okay, so you started doing the soap business, and then you were still working swimming as well. And then obviously your body told you that was enough's enough. So how did you actually make the mental decision to move from swimming into your full-time soap making business?
I didn't really need to make that decision. My body made it for me. So end of March last year, I became quite ill and was admitted to hospital and had some abdominal surgery and had some growths removed from my abdomen. And this was not a direct link to working in the chlorine, but it was a definite message for me to stop. So I had a long period at home. So major open abdominal surgery required 6 weeks at home, no driving, no nothing. And then probably another 6 weeks after that where I wasn't able to do a lot. So 12 weeks where I was in a forced recovery / time off kind of situation. And it just led to giving away the swimming coaching and, taking the business full time. So, the decision was made for me. It wasn't, and it made sense. It really did, because after the surgery and after the recovery, I lost all the symptoms that I had from working in the chlorine. So the constant cough, the constant fatigue, the stench of chlorine everywhere. That part of it wasn't difficult. The hard part is saying goodbye to the kids and not having that thing there for you that you have been doing for your entire life. But fortunately, I have a little bit of, not at the moment because we're all housebound, but once we're through this epidemic or pandemic, they're calling it, I can still do a little bit of coaching here and there just to keep my hand in.
Excellent. So we're now working full-time in the soap business. So how did you sort of start to transition that into actually a business from being a hobby? So obviously you're making soaps. So how are you selling them? What are you doing there?
So I had a lot of help in just prior to transitioning to full-time. So I had I invested a lot of money into the business. I was fortunate that I had some money to invest, and I got my branding done by a graphic designer. I had professional photos done. I had a website made, and I had a lot of support from the online community of entrepreneurs to get me kickstarted in the right direction. So I put that money into the business and did the right thing from the get-go. And that has really helped me, particularly now, because my main source of selling was in the event community. And as everybody probably knows by now, the event community has been shut down. So no more markets, except small farmers markets do continue to go. But the larger artisan markets, the festivals, the fairs, everything has been put on hold, and the entire event industry is non-operational at the moment. So that was my biggest source of selling, even though I did have the website. But I find that when it comes to soap, people like to pick it up and smell it and speak to you and ask you questions and meet the maker. So I've had a lot of advice, friends saying and trying to be helpful, why don't you get a website? Why don't you sell online? Well, I do have a website. I do sell online, but it doesn't change the fact that people want to pick my product up and smell it and ask questions to me directly. They want to meet me. They want to make sure that I'm legitimate. Yeah.
So, and I think that it's exactly that, because there's so many different soaps out there. There's so many different products that why is yours different? And people want to know why yours is different because it is all natural. So maybe you can tell us about your fragrances and why your soap is the fantastic soap that it is.
Sure, I'd love to. I really stick by my principles that I made for the business when I first started operating, and that was to make sure that I retained 100% natural ingredients in my soap. What this means is that I will not and will never use artificial fragrances or artificial colours in my soap. So the basic ingredients in my soap are oils, plant or earth colours, and essential oils. And I do have a couple of soaps as well that are unscented for people with problematic skin. And that doesn't just apply to the soaps. It transfers through the entire range to shower steamers, bath bombs, the beard balm, the lip balms, the belly balm. And this week is shampoo bar week, where I begin to create my shampoo bars. And the same principles will apply. No artificial fragrances and no artificial colouring.
Perfect. Obviously, we need to talk about the difference between essential oils and fragrant oils because some of our audience may not know the difference.
Correct. Yeah. So usually when I speak to people like this, I ask them to get their phone out and I get them to get up onto Google and type in, are fragrances toxic? So just three words, are fragrances toxic? And they can read up on about it themselves. Having said that, some fragrances are plant-based, so you do really need to check your ingredients carefully and make sure that you are getting fragrances that are natural or derived from plants, because originally fragrances were derived from plants, but now a lot of the fragrances are man-made. And if you do the research yourself, you'll find that many fragrances are toxic. So people do need to be careful, because the outcome of smelling and applying artificial fragrances to their body can be quite nasty. So I'm no authority on this subject. It's really just from my own personal experience and personal research. And I would encourage people to get educated on this subject, because fragrances are everywhere in our lives. You can find them not just on soap and body products, but on toilet and shower cleaners, in dishwashing liquid, in dishwasher tablets, in candles. I don't know. There's a lot of places where there are fragrances. Air fresheners. Spraying air fresheners around a lot at the moment, particularly those so-called antibacterial ones, and they smell lovely. Fly spray has fragrance. So people need to check the ingredients. But yeah, I can safely say that there is nothing toxic in my products, because I do refuse to go there. And when it comes to the artificial colourings, it's the same. So just do some research, get educated on the topic yourself. As I said before, I'm no authority to be giving information about this, but I do encourage people to research themselves and find out the information that they need from reputable sources as well.
So, absolutely, yeah. Because as we know, with all the information that's out there at the moment, a lot of it is hearsay, whispers, and Chinese whispers. So it started as one thing and it's turned into quite another. So we definitely need to be researching from reputable, actually researched and anonymous, and wiki is not enough.
No. Yeah.
Okay. So we could all be our own experts on everything and put up our own opinions, but look for the scientific based. So basically, if it's brightly coloured and it is really, really strongly fragranced, it probably isn't natural. So just be aware. So with today's climate and everything that's going on, obviously soap is a very hot topic. So can you let our audience know about how they should be using soap? Should they be using soap, or is hand sanitizer better? Or what would you be suggesting to minimize the spread of any viruses, bacteria, and that sort of things in their own home?
Sure. So a lot of the information that we're getting from the medical community is, if you are home, then soap and water is appropriate. So wash your hands with soap and water. And I would go one step further and say, make sure that's a quality soap, because as I wrote in my latest blog, not all soaps are created equal. So you do want to go for a soap that is moisturizing and isn't going to leave your skin dry and cracked and peeling. And I'm getting a lot of reports from people that are having issues with their hands because of the increase in soap making. So if you're home, soap and water is great. And then the sanitizer comes in when you're out and about. All right, when you're touching doorknobs and touching shopping trolleys and, you know, whatever it is that you're touching out there, just use your hand sanitizer. But they do work in two very different ways. So the sanitizer is an alcohol base, and you do need to make sure that the alcohol base is high. So we're being told 60% or above with alcohol. And you do need to make sure that that gets into all areas of your hands, so between the fingers, under the nails, front and back of the hands, and I would even go so far as going up to the wrists with the hand sanitizer. So don't just rub it onto the palm of your hands and think that you're safe. So really do cover it. And then when you're at home, or if you've got an opportunity to wash with soap, then it's the same thing. Make sure it's front and back of your hands, between the fingers, under the fingernails, and again, I'd say go up to the wrist. Make sure that you're using a lathery soap that covers your hands really easily, and this needs to be done for 20 seconds. So this is all of the information that we're getting from the World Health Organization and from our own AMA in Australia, is it's got to be 20 seconds.
Okay, so for our international listeners, AMA is the Australian Medical Association, so no doubt your countries have similar sort of things. So just jump on their website and check out your recommendations. But certainly in Australia, they're saying 20 seconds, which is singing the happy birthday song twice. So sing the birthday song to yourself, rub again and do it again, and then wash off. And making sure, particularly if you do have fingernail paint on, nail paint, that you are doing around the edges of where your nails are, and especially if they've been shellacked or any of styles that have a bit of glue on it, that's where the bugs will get caught. So making sure that you are doing the edges of your fingernails, as well as for guys, thumbs. Remember to do your thumbs. Guys tend thumbs out when they're washing their hands for some reason, don't know why. It's obviously a male thing because us girls don't do it like that. But make sure you are washing your backs and your palms of your thumbs too. So, all right. So that's great. So we're using our soap and our water, and we're being really careful. So you've got a range of other products as well. So obviously the soap then started to blossom into other things, including right up to your beard balm. So I reckon that's a great thing for the guys. Itchy beards are not good. So where's creativity going to go from here? So you're 6 months in, after all this silliness and everything is settled down, no doubt you'll be full steam ahead selling online, but where do you see creativity heading?
I have a lot of people always asking for new products, always. And, you know, I'm a one-woman show here, so I can only do what I can do. But the push for the last little while has been shampoo bars. And as I mentioned earlier, this week's to-do is to get those shampoo bars made. But, you know, a lot of people sort of say, oh, you know, just make a shampoo bar or buy them. You know, when can you have them ready? It's really not that simple when it comes to product development, because you need to, particularly with soap, you've got to get the recipe right. It's a bit like making a cake. And if you don't get the recipe right, the cake will fail. And if you don't get the soap recipe right, not only will the soap fail, but it could be dangerous. So we need to make sure as soap makers that we are developing our products properly and testing them and tweaking them and getting the right recipe that's going to work. And if anybody knows me, I'm not going to cut corners on that. So I've spent quite a few years developing my recipe for soap, and I know it works. I'm not a soap maker that has 10 different recipes. I stick with two recipes only. So I have my base recipe for 13 of my 14 soaps, and then I have a Castile soap, which is the 100% olive oil soap. So developing a new product such as a shampoo bar is tricky, because people also have different needs with their hair. So you might have normal hair or oily hair or frizzy hair or, you know, dry hair.
Dry hair.
Yep. That's the thing. So I've decided that if I'm going to do this, I've got to do it properly, and I've got to have 4 shampoo bars that will hopefully deal with all hair types. Yeah, that's going to take a while to develop that product, develop the recipes. The recipes are almost there. I now need to make them. I need to test them. And then they need to cure. Soap needs to cure. And cure time can be anywhere from 4 weeks to a year. So, and this is another thing that a lot of people don't realize is that, you know, soap's like a fine wine or a good cheese. You know, you can't just make it and eat it straight away or make it and drink it straight away. Soap has to sit on a shelf and cure. So the chemical reaction can be completed. And that's a minimum of 4 weeks. And I don't think I sell any of my soaps at 4 weeks. I think most of them sell from 6 weeks onwards. I really try to leave them on that shelf up to 6 weeks. But when you're talking about an olive oil soap, like the Castile that I just mentioned, it's a 12-month cure for a Castile soap because it's using a soft oil. So olive oil is a soft oil. It doesn't have, it's not a solid oil that has a melt point. It's a fluid oil all the time. So when you make olive oil into a soap, it's a very soft soap unless you leave it to cure. And that curing allows the soap to harden up. So when you do eventually use it, it doesn't disappear in one wash. So I have Castile soap sitting right to my left at the moment as we speak, and it's been on the shelf for 6 months. And it looks wonderful and it's very tempting to take it off the shelf and use it, but I wouldn't be doing my customers any service if I took that off the shelf and tried to sell it now. So it's going to sit there for another 6 months. So shampoo bars are the in thing. They're the immediate product that I'm going to be developing. And we do have other things in the pipeline, but this damn virus has put them all on hold.
Oh, well, maybe it's the R&D time which will help you out. So, And of course, they can still buy online. So speaking of that, where can people buy your absolutely fabulous soap? And I know it's fabulous because I have some in my bathroom. And yes. I did buy some at Christmas time to give to my clients and customers and received rave reviews on all of it. Yeah. So where can they contact you?
Yeah, so I try to make myself really visible online. I'm on Facebook, I'm on Instagram, and I'm Google My Business, and I have a website. So if you just type in creativity, but you really need to know how to spell it because it's a tricky one. So
and we'll put that in the show notes. But if you'd like to spell it out for those that don't get a chance to go to the show notes, that would be fabulous.
Yeah, so it's K-R-I-E-I-T-I-V-I-T-I. Creativity. It's the phonetic spelling of the word creativity.
Excellent. Okay. At this stage, I ask all my guests 5 final questions. So, Karina, are you game?
Sure. It's like a quiz.
It is. All right. What is the best advice given to you by a mentor?
Best advice given to me by a mentor. Show up. Just show up. So you're not gonna sell anything unless you're in front of people. And that doesn't need to be physically in front of people, particularly at the moment, but you need to be in front of people online. Or when it is possible again, I will be out in the community, at the markets, at the festivals, and I'll be showing up and getting my product in front of people. If you don't show up, people don't know you're there. So, yeah, best advice.
And I think that's really, really relevant at the moment. Even though you can't go to markets, you still need to show up online, and social media is a fantastic place for a lot of people to show up. So breathe, get rid of the negativity and show up.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Okay, what is the biggest help you've received since starting your business?
Biggest help I've received? Oh, gosh, I've received so much help. It's really crazy. You know, I've got to give a shout out to my mum. My mum's incredible. She's 76 years old. She's retired, and she will come to every single market and festival that I do. Now, you need to appreciate that when we do markets, a lot of them are outside, and we have a 3x3 meter gazebo, and we have 3 crates that are around 20 kilos each full of product, plus a few extra bags and bits and pieces. Now, my mum, bless her cotton socks, makes lunch for me, brings cups of tea for me. She knows all the spiel of all of the products, and she will sell. And not only that, but she comes to my house 2 or 3 times a week, and she's learning to make product now as well. So that's the biggest help I've had from any single person since starting Creativity, is her help.
What is the one thing that you have to do every day, your non-negotiable?
Wake up. I've got to wake up. So I've got to wake up, I've got to get out of bed, and I've got to do. So that's, and I know that sounds like a bit of a, well, of course you do, but, you know, it's quite easy just to, when you're working from home, not to be disciplined enough to make it a full work day. And I'm quite blessed with an incredible work ethic like my parents. So for me to get up at 6 o'clock in the morning and start making soap in the kitchen is not a big ask. I mean, I've had a lifetime of waking up at 4:30 and going to the swimming pool to coach. So, you know, 6 o'clock's it's a damn sleep in for me. It's lovely. So the non-negotiable is wake up, get out of bed and work. Don't get onto social media. Don't turn the television on. Don't go out to breakfast. Don't catch up with friends for coffee. You know, if I have a friend say to me, and it's taken a bit of education of my friends, you know, oh, you want to catch up for lunch? What are you doing today? And I'm like, well, I'm working like you. You know, you work whatever hours you work, I work as well. So if you want to catch up, it will be after work or it will be on the weekend if I don't have a market. So, you know, just get up and get going.
Absolutely. I found that when my daughter was still in primary school, if I went to the primary school to drop her off in my work clothes, they all said, oh, you're working. Great. We'll catch up on the weekend. But if I was in more casual clothes because I was working from home that day, not seeing clients, then they'd ask, could I come for a coffee or whatever? Yeah. So in the beginning, I used to put my uniform on, go drop my daughter off, come home, get out of my uniform because I wasn't doing two lots of washing, and then get into my casual clothes and then get changed again in the afternoon. Because it really is that different mindset for people that are working from home to non-working from home. It'll be interesting to see on the end of this coronavirus thing, how people view people working from home and whether their options change or not. Okay. What is your favorite business book and why?
I don't have a book. I seriously don't. I don't read business books. And it was the same with swimming coaching. People used to ask me this question with swimming coaching, Karina, what's your favorite swimming coaching book? I don't go with books. I go with my head, my heart, my initiative. I listen to what other people are saying to me. I do read. I do read things online, but I would not purchase a book to help me with my business. I can't really tell you why. It's just something I've never really done, and I never did it with swimming coaching either. I just take my information from different sources. I weigh it up. I apply it to my business. If it's going to work, it's going to work. If it's not going to work, then I don't go with it.
So do you have a favorite podcast or somebody that you follow?
Not really. Again, I listen to a few different podcasts. I'm trying to remember the name of one of them, but some of the podcasts I listen to are as simple as just lifestyle podcasts, so not necessarily business podcasts, but just how to live a good life and make sure that balance is there and make sure that you're getting what you need and you're ticking all those boxes. I think I would find if I tried to listen to too many business-related podcasts, I'd get a bit overwhelmed. And, you know, to not really wanting to blow my own trumpet, but I feel like I'm doing okay with what I'm doing here. And I've got a lot of help. I've got a couple of mentors that I work with. You know, I thought a week ago when the event industry shut down that that was going to be it. I had, you know, probably like a lot of us had that moment where I thought, that's it, it's over. It's my business is gone. It's down the tube. And that lasted all of about half an hour before I thought, right, well, you know, plan B has got to be put into action. And I've had a great week of support and a great week of sales. So I just need it to continue. But yeah, as I said, there's not really a particular podcast that I would listen to on a regular basis. Yeah, just whatever comes on. You know, I put Siri on and I ask Siri play podcasts and whatever comes.
Excellent. So hopefully Small Business Talk will be added to that Siri list.
Yeah, oh, absolutely, most definitely. Now that I know that it exists.
And that's it. Sometimes it's just about getting in front of people.
Yeah, so that's absolutely. It. Yeah.
All right. Our very last one is, what do you wish you had known when you started out?
I wish I had known when I started out. You know, it's really easy to say, to answer that question and say everything, but it's just not possible, you know. I don't really wish I had of known anything in particular. I think when I started, I knew what I needed to know. And as I've grown the business, I've found what I needed to know. And I fully admit that I don't know what I don't know. So I just keep reading, listening, working with my mentors. I'm not chasing anything in particular. I have some big goals for my business, some really big goals that are in my business plan, that are in my head, that are on my wall. But I don't particularly wish, there's nothing I look back on over the last few years and think, I wish I had known that. I think I knew what I needed to know at the time and it was appropriate for that time. And I think that's a really healthy way to look at things as well.
Definitely. We have had a lot of people say everything. And I think if we knew everything in the beginning, we wouldn't be in the position we're in now, whether it be good or bad, the people we are, because not knowing would have stopped us in our tracks in some instances. Not knowing would have made us make decisions in different ways, and therefore we wouldn't be where we are. So it's definitely a very healthy way to look at it. And I love the fact that you said that your melancholy and your doom and gloom lasted a whole half an hour.
Pretty much. I'm a stupidly optimistic person. I used to say to the kids that I was coaching that, you know, they can either look at it as a really good thing or as a really bad thing, but they've landed with a swimming coach that will be the most optimistic person in their lives. And I really try to carry that through in everything.
Absolutely. I've been told that I'm flippant because I'm too optimistic, but what's the alternative? The alternative is that we all pack up shop and hide under our beds, which does sound appealing, but only for about half an hour. So, absolutely.
Yeah.
So, Karina, I really, really appreciate your time and your wisdom and love your soaps, and we'll definitely be buying more. So thank you very much for being on the Small Business Talk podcast, and we'll drop all your links and your crazy spelling into the show notes where people can find you.
Thanks.
So is there anything that we haven't covered that you think we should mention?
Oh, look, you know, there's so much going around at the moment, but all I would like to probably impress upon people is the hand washing is the key, and just make sure you've got a good quality soap. There's a lot of soap makers in Perth that are doing a really good job with their soap, and that hand washing and keeping our distance from people is really going to help to knock this virus on the head.
Absolutely. So do you ship international as well or just locally here in Australia?
Yeah, so if you go onto the website, it is only Australia for postage, but if somebody does want me to ship internationally, they just need to contact me personally. I've sent soap to Italy and Germany and a couple of other places. Yeah, it's not a problem.
Fantastic, because we have a large audience in Canada and America. Like I say, I can personally vouch for your soaps. So if anybody over there is having trouble getting gorgeous looking soap, do contact Karina directly.
Please.
On the contact details via the website. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
Don't forget to subscribe to Small Business Talk podcast and head on over to smallbusinesstalk.com.au/downloads for all the show notes and links to this episode. Remember, to be great, you must start. Pick one tip from today's episode, take action and implement it. Let's meet again next week at the same time and place. Until then, take action. And SBT community, enjoy your journey.